And people always say, how does it change your life? Does it have you more focused? I've always been a focused person, but the lens changed. It went from that wide lens to focus to that detailed lens to where you could see it was like this. Oh, now it went from here to here.
Welcome to The Art of Fatherhood, a podcast that takes you on the journey of fatherhood. Now here's your host, Art Eddy.
Hey, Andrew Hayes here, recent guest on the podcast, father of two young kids and the founder of Alta Coaching. But before I was the founder of Alta Coaching, I had a corporate job and my health was declining. I was trying to be a really good dad and trying to work really hard to make money for my family. And what I found was when I put myself last, I did not feel good. I had high cholesterol, I had gut health issues. And so what I did was I hired a nutrition coach. Her name was Kat Best. She changed my life so much that I quit my 15-year career in marketing to partner with her to found Alta Coaching. And now we work together to coach busy parents and busy professionals just like you. So if you are interested in improving your health, but you can't find the time to do it, or you just are confused with all the misinformation out there, I highly recommend checking out Alta Coaching, www.altaforlife.com. And what you'll find is you don't have to eat kale salads every day. You don't have to run 7 days a week. Hiring a coach can help fit different tricks and tips into your busy lifestyle so you have time to see your friends, have hobbies, spend time with your kids, eat the food that you love, whatever it is that's important to you, we work with you to make it fit into your life. So go to www.altaforlife.com to book a free call with us today or to download one of our free resources. And if you mention the Art of Fatherhood podcast, we'll give you the first month free. www.altaforlife.com today.
What's going on, everybody? Art Eddy here for another edition of the Art of Fatherhood podcast. I'm very lucky to have this gentleman on. We're going to be promoting his new Netflix special, New Day. We're going to talk about fatherhood, all this great stuff. It's none other than Donald Rawlings. Thanks for taking the time to chat with me, sir. How you doing?
And thanks. First, I want to say thank you for giving me the barber reference, man. And like, they did a great job for you and me. I was like, I want to get the same cut. So, you know, we good to go, man. Without you, man, I would have been walking around here with an afro right now.
I tend to think, though, black guys can pull off being bald more than white guys. We have like patchy, like whatever stuff, like ashy, whatever, like different things we got going on in our heads. I think you guys rock it better than I do.
But you're working it, man. It's all good.
Thanks, man. Before we get into New Day, let's talk a little bit about your fatherhood journey. You do talk about parenting, co-parenting, fatherhood in that as well. It's a great, I mean, talk about a bunch of other great things as well in the comedy special. But obviously, Art of Fatherhood, like to talk to guys about their fatherhood journey. When you found out you're going to be a dad, man, what was going through your mind?
I don't want to say baby mother. I want to say the mother of my child.
Okay.
Right. When she told me when she was pregnant, I was so old and thought I was out of the game. I said, by who? I said, I don't know. I said, I haven't hit a bullseye in a long time, man. But it was like excitement and nervous at the same time, you know, because to be quite honest, man, I really thought I was out the game, you know, and I had already settled with, okay, you probably won't have no kids. Then usually people like that, if you're not settled with it, you can go crazy. I was like, I'll focus on my career. I got nieces. I got nephews. I got other stuff to put my energy into. And I didn't want to be like that bitter person. Yeah. But I got to say, when I found out that she was pregnant, I was excited. But here's the craziest story. And this is why I think why motherhood, having a kid and everything, is such a miracle and so dope. Because she was pregnant before. I got to explain the story. She was pregnant, right? And the first time she got pregnant, doctor said, it doesn't look like it's going to be a healthy situation. It was complications and everything. But at my age, I was like, yo, if we got a shot, let's do it, right? Let's go for it. So I started juicing. And I was like, wait a minute, I ain't got nothing to do with it. My stuff is over now, right? So we were having complications and it just didn't seem right. But I still was, you know, on that, oh man, you know, something, it's going to be good. 3 months into it, I was in Australia and I got a call that she told me she had a miscarriage, right? Yeah. And I was away. And before that, I'm gonna do some real stuff I'm about to say. Before that, when I found out when she was pregnant, I was like, look at God, won't he do it, right? But then when she had the miscarriage, the first time in my life, I questioned God, bro. And I'm being straight honest. I was like, come on, God. And the reason why I questioned God, because I was like, God, listen, I don't even call you for everything. You know what I'm saying? I'm not abusive. If I'm going to call you, it's going to be for something good. I'm not going to be like, Oh God, could you please let the Burger King drive-thru be open right now? I am so hungry. Lord God bless I be. I don't do that. I call you for some real stuff. And then when I called you, right? And then there's definitely age difference between me and my baby mom. And here's the thing about dating a much younger Latino woman. 3 months after she had a miscarriage, 3 months after that, I was right back in, right? So now I got to go apologize to God, right? And I was like, God, you know, I had somebody talking in my ear, the devil, right? I said, I do apologize, work with me this. And if anybody's had this experience of having a miscarriage, you're so nervous because at first you want to get past the stage you were at last time. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So I was like this, oh man, I felt good about 3 months. I was like, but then we got to get 3 months. Then we got to get 4 months. You know what I'm saying? And then, you know, the way the medical field is now, it's very hard to not know what's going on during a woman's pregnancy. So many tests, so many things. And then every step of the way, bro, it got more confidence. I was like, oh my God, I'm about to do this. And people always say, how does it change your life? Does it have you more focused? I've always been a focused person, but the lens changed. It went from that wide lens to focus to that detailed lens to where you could see it was like this. Oh, now it went from here to here. And then I don't care what anybody says, you know, especially in this business I'm doing, sometimes you don't know what your real purpose is until this happens. And then when this happened, I was like this, God, this is why you got me here. Yeah. This is my true purpose. The jokes, the everything, that's one thing. But this is what you're here for. And this is the thing that takes precedent over everything in your life. This is the thing that's going to continue your legacies. This is the thing that's going to give you unconditional love. This is the person that you could tell, go in there, find a goddamn remote control. I don't care if it's 4 inches from my face. This is the person that's going to stop you from going out there to get the groceries out of there. This is the dude that runs to the store for you. That was it. And I'm telling you, it happened in a later part of my life. I'm loving every minute, every circuit of it. And this dude gives me so much inspiration and really validates what the reason I'm here, why I'm here.
Thank you so much for sharing that. Thanks for being honest. I think I do get emails when people kind of share a similar story about having a miscarriage, and you really, for those people like, oh, we were just trying, or in your case, like, was it's going to happen? And then, like you said, like you weren't reaching out to God for all these different things, but this was like an important thing to you. So I appreciate you being honest. And I know that a lot of dads and moms probably can relate to that. So thank you for that. You know, you talk about purpose and legacy. I know that that's huge with a lot of guys I talk with. Talk about some of the ways you're going to continue your legacy through him by the values and things you're going to look to teach him.
Well, this is an old thing now. I wanted to teach him honor and respect. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm old school. Like when I was growing up, our parents didn't care if you could read or write. You better respect your elders. You know what I mean? Like, I can't read or write, but you better say thank you, ma'am. Yeah. You better say yes, ma'am. I try to instill some of the type of the values that I believe in. And also, I'm going to use my life as a reflection of a lot of things not to do. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll tell him like this. Why are you telling his dad? Because this is where dad made a mistake. This is where dad should have showed a little bit more passion. This is where dad should have really put his love. This is the focus. And then I want him to be a kid that makes his own decision. As much as every dad probably wants their kid to walk in their footsteps, but I want him to be able to make his own decision. I want him to be able to understand what life really is. I'll be hard on that. Like a while ago, I asked him, what do you want to do? He said, Daddy, I want to be in entertainment. And I was like, oh my God, please no. Right. And the reason why I said that is because I know the level of rejection. I know the negativity in this business. I know all the no's. I know the haters. I know how tough that is. And I told him, I said, well, if this is something you think you want to get into, I said, you really, because he's real sensitive and get upset about stuff. I was like, the attitude you have right now, I said, it's not going to work. I said, it's not going to work in this business. I said, you better have some tough skin or whatever. And I was like, and you don't necessarily have to be a comedian. You could be a funny doctor. You could be a funny lawyer. You have to have a sense of humor. Like, I would disown him if he's not funny. Whatever. I would ask for a DNA test. Wait a minute. He got no jokes? This ain't my damn baby. He don't even look like me. It's bad enough. You don't look like me. Now you don't act like me. I need to be Jerry. I need Jerry to answer this.
Or Maury Povich, right?
yeah, Jerry and Maury Povich, right? And then I said, then I went, I doubled down. I asked him again. I said, why is it that you're interested in this so much? And he said, Daddy, because you inspire me.
Oh, man.
I just was talking to him the other day. He has a YouTube page or whatever, right? He has a YouTube page. And I guess him and his mom put it together. And I'm like this, how your dad don't know about your YouTube page? You know what he told me? He said, Daddy, I don't want them problems. He said, I don't.
Like, okay, he's my son now. He's making
jokes. Yeah. He said, I don't want them problems. Basically, this little kid know that he wants his own identity at 8 years old.
Yeah.
He said, I don't want them problems, Daddy. I said, well, he said, you know, and I was like, I don't know. I'm like, am I talking to a peer or to, am I talking to my son?
Yeah.
And then he went back, he echoed what he said before. And this is a field is he wants to get into like the computer program and the animation stuff. I don't do that. And then he echoed it again. He said, Daddy, you inspire me. So I'm like this, what is something that I'm doing that he looks at as, he has to see that Daddy works hard. He has to see that when I go on the streets, people respect me. He has to see that, but he's taken that and he wants to use it for something that could probably be totally different from what I'm doing. So, you know, he's already starting off good. He's such a man, and not just because he's my son. Because he's my son. He's just a beautiful kid, man. Beautiful guy. Beautiful kid. Love him. Love him to death.
I love that. And yeah, you know, you mentioned just in your field, there's so much rejection. Just think about like also too, when we see our kids, I got two daughters and it's like one's in middle school, one's in high school. I think middle school is worse when I'm 44. I felt like high school was worse. Now it feels like middle school is more of like a danger zone just for kids and finding themselves. But you have that, you want to protect them, but they're going to have to, you know, see that rejection or not be like in the cool, you know, clique or whatever. But you know that there's going to be some negativity, things that they're going to feel or you know, just have some issues when they're growing up. But then, you know, from the entertainment field, like there's so much rejection and it's like, you keep on trying and trying and your work ethic. So he sees your work ethic. He sees how much probably you have fun with your successes and all that. So he probably, you know, is like, I love the fact that he's inspired by you. You mentioned also too, like having a narrow focus. So this probably may be the answer to this question, but what is something that your son has taught you about yourself or about life that maybe you didn't know was there until you became a dad?
What did my son teach me about? That's a tough question. My son ain't taught me nothing. No. Yo, he ain't teach me nothing. I'm an older dad. I'm like a granddad and a dad, bro. I ain't trying to teach this dude no values or none of that. I want him to shut up. Here's a lollipop. I got granddad energy. How did you get him to shut up? Give him some sugar. I don't care about them teeth. Those his first set of teeth. He can lose those teeth. He hasn't shown me any of that yet. Maybe I haven't got there at that point. You know, I don't know if I get, I don't know where I'm at with that, but I think that that's going to be something that happens in the future. Right now, I'm just like, right now, I'm just loving on him, man. Just loving. Yeah. I think one of my jokes, I say, you know, I'm a dad that identifies as a mom. Does that make me transparent? You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm a tough guy, but I be saying stuff like, aw. And you cannot call yourself gangster when you respond to that baby pictures like, aw. So, you know, he's taught me, I think he taught me how to love in a different way, you know, feel more compassion. And I think that he's made me like I don't, somewhat soft. And I know I got to change because all my friends tell me, have all the fun with your son looking up to you and you being the coolest dad right now, because when he turns 13, he don't want to be around you. He's not going to think you're cool. You know, there's like this. It's like, oh, here comes dad. So I'm trying to get all the love, everything I can get in right now before he starts bucking up on me, as they say.
Okay, so here's a couple of things. One, I understand there's certain things where my cell phone died. I had to go into my daughter's high school to pick her up instead of just text like, hey, I'm here. She's like, what are you doing in here? I'm like, my cell phone died. It was just like, you know, embarrassing, right? But here's the thing, like there's few and far betweens for that. Before I ask you for a dad hack or piece of advice for new dads, I'm going to share something with you to get away from that whole like stereotype, like, oh, once he turns 13, becomes a teenager. And I think you do this already. Just be involved with what he's interested in, not just like school or sports, whatever, but like whatever he's interested in, talk to them and like as now, because you're setting the foundation bit and then they're cool. Like my kids like being around me. They're 15 and 13, or actually now 16 and 13. And they like being around me because they know that like I'm authentic. You seem like what you are on the stage, you also are in real life, and people like respect that, you know, authenticity. I think kids can sniff out BS, right? So I think you're on the way for there. I think, you know, different families have different relationships with their kids, but it seems like you can like kind of understand that vibe and just make sure you're there with him and like
appreciate. My son don't give a goddamn. I'm gonna tell you, I know he's gonna disrespect me. The reason why, I know it. This is how I know it. One day I sent him this heartfelt text, right?
Oh, no.
And listen, I thought I was like, it was a paragraph. So I'm like, at least I'll get a paragraph back. He gave me a thumbs. Yo, I was so hurt. He gave me a thumbs, right? And then when I said, that's all I get a thumbs, then he switched it to a ha-ha.
What's the worst? That's the worst.
Yo, he did a ha-ha. And I was like, yo, stop playing. And then he gave me a black fist at the end of that. I was like, oh, man, this dude is definitely, definitely his dad.
Talk about a piece of advice or dad hack you'd offer to new dads. What would it be?
The first thing I do, I would say, learn how to, what is that process? It's called the swaddle.
Yes. Oh, nice. Yep.
Yeah. That's the one thing. If you want your peace, you want your quiet, you know, and this can apply for people that know how to roll burritos, know how to roll blunts or anything. Learn how to swaddle. You know what I'm saying? Take your skills as a blunt roller, as a cigar dude, or any of that, and it's important to get that swaddle. If you can't get past that swaddle stage, you're going to be in trouble. It looks, feels barbaric, and it feels like a straitjacket, but if you want some sleep and you want some peace and get them on a schedule, get your swaddle game up.
100%, you are on point. You said, like, you feel like you don't want to make it too tight. You make that loose, the swaddle loose, 2 minutes, they're going to start crying again. So well said.
Oh, yeah. It might, you don't, might not look, just swaddle and look away, but you got to swaddle.
Look away, guys. Yeah. Congrats on your new Netflix special, New Day. For you, I mean, this is, you know, not in the sense of you've done this before, you've had specials, you've done certain things, but was there any difference in preparation for this one as opposed to your other specials?
Yeah, it was because, in fact, I had shot a special 2 years ago, right? And it was like at the heel of the pandemic, right? Dave was a producer of it. And we did it when they had like all these COVID protocol and everything. And I did the show. I got a stand ovation. Everybody was excited about it. We had already started to do the promo for it. And then maybe a week after we were about to announce that a special was coming, Chappelle called me. He said he wants to shoot the special again. I'm like, what are you talking about? That's one of the most insulting things you can hear, because the comedian would think that it wasn't funny.
Yeah.
I was like, what's the deal? And he said, Donnie, you're one of the funniest comics that I know. He said, I could put you in front of any room, you would destroy the room. He said, but it doesn't make it a great special. He said, it's a difference. It's a difference between telling jokes. It's a difference between putting something together with the beginning, the middle, the end, the callbacks. He said that I did a lot of COVID jokes in there, which would have dated it. The minute, like right now, if you run that special, that if I did it when people had masks on, it would automatically put you to the year 2020. You know, he said, I've seen you do these jokes better. And like, he was like, let's go again. And I had reservations, but I'm also talking to a guy that's one of the greatest to do it.
Yeah.
You know, he's got the money to back it up. Now, that's not everything. He's got the accolades. He's got the love from the fans or whatever. I was like, so I got to trust him. If he's going to be that much a part of his executive producer, I got to listen to him, you know? So we went back to the drawing board. We did it. I changed the way I looked. I changed the jokes. And another thing he said, Donnell, he produced four specials. It's called The Home Team, right?
Yep. Yeah.
And, with Earthquake, Lunell, Tony Woods is another guy. He said, Donnell, I love all of those guys. He said, but out of everybody that I'm doing this for, your relationship with me and the connection with the Chappelle Show, he said, yours is the most anticipated. Not to slight any efforts, anybody. He said, so we're going to do this. He said, I want to put you in the best light possible. Right? Yeah. So that was 2 years ago. A year after that, we had some shows in Napa Valley, and he records all his shows. So he looks at one of the producers and says, how many cameras do we have with us today? She said, we got five. He looks at me. He says, Donnell, do you want to do your special? I said, when? He said, tomorrow. I'm like, what? I was like, okay, right? And I was like, let's do it. And I ripped that one. A month after that, he said he wanted to do it again. I'm like, what's wrong? He said, I didn't like the production. I was like, but you're the producer. And he was, and it was like small things. He was like, people are walking around and everything. And then I was like, well, it could be old school, like Richard Pryor Live at Sunset Strip. You could see people coming in the audience, sitting down. It was disruptive. And the comedy stood out. I was still anxious just to get it out. And he said, nope. I had already called Netflix and said, yo, we got it. He said he don't want to do it. I'm like, damn it. But the check had cleared also. So he could take as long as he wanted to do to get it done. So in November of last year, I was doing a New York Comedy Festival. And I was like, why don't we just bring the cameras in here and tape a weekend of my shows? We did it. I changed my jokes. I changed the rhythm. I changed my appearance. And you saw it. And it just, it looks amazing. It feels good. Yeah. And the thing about it, the way we are right now, and I'm not a squeaky clean comic, but what I feel like, how people perceive it as being funny, that's subjective. It all depends on who watch it. But yeah. I will say, whether you think it's funny or not, it really feels good. It really feels like it's a new day. Yeah. It really feels like somebody coming to their own. It's somebody that's unfiltered. I'm not trying to be a shock comic or anything, but I'm saying how I feel about stuff. And the things that I talk about, I'm sure resonate with so many people. Mental health issues, co-parenting, you know what I'm saying? Like interracial dating, dating a younger woman, having a kid by having a younger son. It's something, I think there's something in there for everybody, you know?
Oh, hell yeah. And so watching this right now, it almost brings it into a new light for me, because of all the different ways you were preparing for one show and then it turned out to be another show, right? Yeah. And I honestly, like, when you first came on, and also too, spoiler alert, I've, you know, the people who see it, listen to this before they see it, I love the fact that, you know, you get up and you see your son. It's like kind of like,
oh man, I'm telling you, that's gonna hurt him, bro. Man, yo, this is what I'm talking about. When it first comes on, you don't know what you're about to see.
Yeah.
You don't know if it's documentary, you don't know if it's a movie. But you see a guy, I don't want to give it up, you know, and I'm glad that you commented. I was like, how will people take that? You see somebody, you feel like in my eyes, there's some purpose.
Yeah.
It's a reason why I'm doing this.
Yeah. Yep.
And then from that point to ba-da, ba-da-da-da-da. Yeah. Yo, I'm glad you said that. And the crazy thing is, with going back to that, I'm glad you said that, because when we were doing this, Dave, I was trying to be involved with too much, the opening and stuff. And Dave said, Donnell, focus on the body of work, the jokes. And he said, let me do the bells and whistles.
Okay.
That wasn't my idea.
Okay.
That was his idea. And I really liked it, because with the song and him knowing a relationship with my boy, and have somebody on the outside seeing that, I think this is what this guy see. I'm telling you, man, I'm so happy about this special. I'm telling you, people, when this comes on, they're going to be like, there's something that feels special about this.
This special, I know it's going to sound stupid, but it screams you. Like,
yeah.
of all the different things you've done, whether it's on the Chappelle Show or, you know, stand up or whatever the case may be, you come out and, you know, you're rocking suits and all that. And even someone on Instagram was saying, like, love the plethora of suits you keep on rocking, right?
Right, right, right.
And, but, like, you come out there and it does seem like a new day. You see the purpose. You're looking at your son. You're like, all right, let me go rock this. And you do. But this whole time, again, I'm bringing that word authenticity back, because it was just like, this is your, obviously it's your special, but it just, the vibe was you through the whole way through it, man. And the way you transitioned and the way you tell, like, stories, one that got me that I was just laughing at so good.
Potato salad.
It was about gay black men in the potato
salad. Oh, don't say it. Don't say it, bro. That potato, because, you know, Dave, I know you were on the edge. You were like, oh my God, it is over before it begins. That flip right there. Oh man. That's one of my favorites too, man.
I was just laughing my ass off. I'm like, this is so you. This is the way that, just mannerisms, the way you were telling the story was fantastic.
But I'm going to tell you something, man. And going back to what you said, everything you're saying is because of me accepting the criticism that Dave said.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like you said, you mentioned the tie-in of jokes, the segues, all that. He forced me to get that. And even when like I'm so animated and my voice is so distinct, I can get away with a lot of jokes just by my voice, by my movement.
Yep.
But I said, okay, if I want to make this special, I said, now I got to make every word mean something. I can't have no wasted words. And I was like this, let me take it to the pen and the pad. And when I was putting it together, I was like, I want this, if you were to do a transcript of that set, if you were reading that whole set, you would die laughing just by reading it.
Yeah.
But I would see me do it.
But you mentioned, though, too, just by your actions, like even you stomping your foot in the beginning, I was just dying laughing. I was like,
man, but you got to say, and even let me tell you something. I had two shots at it. The first show, I did a great job, right? And one thing the producer wanted to say, we got what we need. But me as an artist, and me knowing I went, I was like, yeah, you got what you need. I didn't get what I need. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. We got it, yeah, but I wanted to have that out-of-body experience. So when you see me come out on that one right there, that's like, okay, D, this is it.
Yeah.
The way the audience, this was it, and it resonated. That first line I say, for people that were fans of Chappelle's Show, that first line I say out the gate, you know why I'm feeling good? Don't say it. Bam!
Yeah.
Bam!
Yeah.
Yep.
So good, man. So... And again, you know, talk about co-parenting and, you know, I love the fact that there is that, you know, the fatherhood and the parenting and just family in there. What, you know, what advice would you give dads? And you do kind of give, you know, advice about parenting, co-parenting and stuff like that.
Right.
Share, maybe if you want to share some other stuff you don't like, so we don't spoil it for them, but what is something that you'd want to share about like
be advice kind, co-parenting? Be kind, whether you slightly, but my situation, I'm not in a relationship with his mom anymore. And with that, I'm saying, whatever you do, man, just be kind, man. Whatever your feelings are. And I'm going to make this specific to people that are in a co-parenting situation. You know what I'm saying? Whatever emotions you have toward mom, whether that's good or whatever, don't let that affect your kid's mental health. Always put you in a situation where you're appreciative and everything. And even when you have ill feelings about her or whatever that is, that kid doesn't need to feel that way.
Yeah.
That kid doesn't need to feel that way. That kid does not have to feel like mad in love, because like I pointed out in the special, that kids don't really care about that. They want to see you guys together. In certain situations, things are extreme where you can't do family stuff. But if it's times where you can have a family dinner, where they see mom and dad together, whatever, try, you know, some people have different circumstances, but try as best as possible to keep that relationship and know and let your kid know that, you know, it might not be the lovey-dovey, but you love and respect his mom, because if you're not there, they're going to be with them most of the time anyway.
Yeah. 100%, man. Yeah, and just the idea of respect and not using your kid as a pawn in the whole co-parenting thing. Love it. One more question before we finish off with the Father of Quick Five. This kind of also goes for fashion stuff. I'm 44. I still try and rock Jordans here and there.
Right.
But like the idea of skinny jeans just threw me for a loop, man. Right. Like there's a certain age limit where it's like when you're at the store and they're like, you need to be carded. And if you're past a certain age, you don't wear skinny jeans anymore, right?
Right. But it's a thing, like, it's a transition. Like, even with me, like, we go through that. I went through that, you know, like, I rock all type outfits, but I was like, you know, and I say that there's a time where sometimes you don't really know how old you are. You know, how old are you? I'm 30, 50 years old. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, I'm 50, 30. It ain't how old I am, it's how I feel. But for me, that transition for me, and I'm still proud that I could rock a hoodie, I could wear the jeans, whatever. But I know there is a level of instant respect that people will give you when you dress a certain way. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, sometimes I feel like I'm in a suit mood, sometimes hoodie, sometimes crew neck, sometimes it whatever it is. But, you know, I embrace it, but I love the fact that I could go both ways. But I'm going to tell you, the first time you put on a fitted suit, it's hard to go back. It's hard to buy. And at the beginning of that set, it is hard to go back. At the beginning of that set, I explained it is so hard to go back sometimes.
And the red socks, right?
The pop, bro. That pop. I messed them up. I'm about to sell socks, bro. You can believe that.
Hey, you're selling candles. Why not sell socks?
I know. I'm going. Yeah, that was pandemic time. I had to pivot. I needed to see some.
That's
money
one hell of an awesome pivot, though, man. Again, yeah. Like it's the different multi thinking and the different levels that you're on, right? I love that.
Yeah.
Father, quick five. Favorite family movie that you and your son like to watch together? What is it?
Soul.
Nice. Okay. Favorite song, or is there a band that or an artist that you like to listen to together?
I force him to listen to Nina Simone.
Oh, nice, man.
Now yeah, he'd be like this, and I'm feeling good. Okay, Daddy, can we go to McDonald's?
Describe the perfect vacation with him. Where would it be?
The perfect vacation with him is being in his presence.
Oh, love it.
You know what I'm saying? It could be anywhere. You know, like he doesn't want to go back to Hawaii because that's the first time I gave him a spanking. So that brings back so many flashbacks. He hates Hawaii now. But anywhere I'm with him is a vacation.
Nice. Most surreal, and there's probably a lot, but for you, like most surreal moment for you, like one of them would be what?
When he came out.
Nice.
When I got a picture of it, I post every, I think it was Mother's Day or something, where my face, I looked like a crybaby. It was like the level of joy, all that. I think I'm gangster, ride or die. It was done. My face was looking sobby as hell. I would never forget that moment.
Again, because of the story you mentioned earlier about what happened and what took place the first time, man. So love it. And lastly, top three words you hope your son would use to describe you as a dad. What would you want them to be?
Funny as fuck.
People go to DonnellRawlings.com. Make sure you check out his new special, New Day on Netflix. Thank you again. It's been an honor chatting with you. Love your stuff. And again, I know people are going to dig this new special. But again, I wish you and your son continued success, sir.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Art of Fatherhood podcast. I really appreciate your support. And I also appreciate Alta for sponsoring this week's episode. Kat and Andrew are doing really great things over at their site at altaforlife.com. They've worked with hundreds of clients. They've grown exclusively by word of mouth, and they pride themselves on getting results for their clients in a way that doesn't disrupt any other priorities such as family, friends, travel, or career. So if you are looking to live a healthier lifestyle, if you're looking to achieve goals in fitness, weight loss, wellness, make sure you check out altaforlife.com and see how Andrew and Kat can help you achieve your goals. And while you're on the internet, please go to artoffatherhood.net, rate, subscribe, and review to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. I greatly appreciate it. I've had overwhelming support in the last few years. Love the reviews, love the ratings. Thank you so much for that. Make sure you also go to the website, check out the different articles, reviews, different stories on fatherhood and just pop culture. And also there are chances for giveaways and prizes. So check out my website over at artoffatherhood.net. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts and go to artoffatherhood.net.